goodsuccess.com.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence once again. Thank you for the word you are sending to us today, and thank you for the word you sent last week. Thank you for showing us how to pray more effectively and to see answers to our prayers all the time. And Lord, I pray tonight that everyone that joins this program or that will listen later, let everyone be blessed indeed. Let us begin to have answers to our prayers instantly in the name of Jesus. Let everyone's eyes be open to see the light of your word. In Jesus Christ's mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. The topic remains how to get your prayers answered all the time. Praise the Lord. There is a lot of prayer that is required for good success. And as we have defined it earlier on, good success is the kind of success you have when you have your expected results in any course of action. Good success is that result you have that brings pleasure to God, to you, and to people around, meaning that your success does not cause someone else pain. That is good success. Praise God. So today we are looking at what makes prayers delayed and how do we get our prayers answered all the time. Last week we learned about prayer. We saw the ingredients of prayer, just like a soup that is being cooked, that requires several ingredients to give us the expected result. The same way, good success in prayer, or prayer for good success, requires that there are so many ingredients that we put together. But having ingredients is not enough. We also need to know how to apply those ingredients, how to cook them, how to put them together, the process, the method of making the soup of our prayers. Praise God. Let's read some scriptures. Ecclesiastes 10:15, it says, "The labor of fools wearies them, but they do not even know how to go to the city." Matthew 7:7-8 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And number 3, Ecclesiastes 10:10, it says, "If the axe is dull, and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. For wisdom brings success." KJV says, "Wisdom is profitable to direct." Praise God. In all these things, we can see that if someone does not know exactly what to do, he can be frustrated in that course of action. For example, if you are going to a city and you are supposed to drive southwest and you start driving northwest, it doesn't matter how long or how fast you've been driving, you are never going to end up in that destination because you are going the wrong way. The same way, if you are praying wrong prayers or not doing it right in prayers, answers will not come. And let's remember that God is a righteous judge. You can liken the place of prayer to a law court where you bring in your strong reasons, where you bring in the law and show the judge why you must be justified. You must treat prayers the same way. And that is why when you come to the place of prayer, you must know exactly the will of God concerning that matter. You must know what God has said about it, what he said he will do. If it is not his will, there is no guarantee that you get answers. So you must first and foremost justify or find out if what you want to do is God's will or not. It's just like if you have a 2-year-old boy and the boy really wishes to drive your car on the expressway. We all know the answer to that request. You are not going to grant him the key. Why? You love him. You want the child to be alive. So you won't grant him the wrong request. It's a good request. It's not a wrong request. But it is not a request he should have asked because it is not for his age. So the same way, we must know what is right for us at the right time in prayers for us to be able to guarantee that answers will be granted. Praise the Lord. You need to settle the fact that God is never behind unanswered prayers. You must settle that first. If you don't understand that you come to the place of prayer trying to convince God to answer your prayers, but he's not behind unanswered prayers. In fact, he's more ready to grant you answers than you are willing to pray. The ability of God to answer prayers, not just a few times, but all the time, is what makes him God indeed. You know, if you are not sure whether God will answer your prayers or not, then we begin to doubt if God is really God, an almighty God that is powerful indeed. But we know that he is almighty. That means he has the ability to answer prayers all the time. You must first settle that. And that is why I believe one of the major reasons people lose their confidence in God is because, according to them, in quotes, he didn't answer their prayers when they needed him most. So that is the frustration many Christians face, that when I prayed about this thing, God didn't do it, so I'm not serving God again. So, but we are looking at why exactly do we see delays in prayers. From past experience, my own past experience, and from the people I know, I can boldly and confidently say that if you are tracing the fault of unanswered prayers, please and please don't trace it to God, because he's always faithful, he's always regular, he's always there at the right time. But if you are tracing it, trace it to humans, trace it to yourself, trace it to me, because you and I are behind our unanswered prayers. Human frailties, unfaithfulness, foolishness, omissions, sins, lack of faith, doubts, impatience, and wrong prayers are always behind unanswered prayers. God is always faithful. So if you're going to solve a math equation and there's a right side, there's a left side, once you know that the right side is settled, what do? You look at the left side. Now that we have settled the side of God, that God is not the one responsible for your unanswered prayers, now we know that the left side of the equation is human beings. So let's look at it. Number one, cook your soup the right way. If you are going to cook a particular soup and you use high heat when you're supposed to use low heat, you may end up with something else, not the taste you are looking for. So, like we said last week, I'm just going to mention it briefly, pray with the right disposition. And I give credit to Bishop Oyedepo for this, because he really talked about this. You must understand that there's a focus in prayer. You can't be praying about something and you're checking your phone at the same time. One line prayer. That means, number one, you must have your desire. You must register that you really need this thing. The moment you set that God is the only one who can solve your problems, then your focus is 100% on Him. Then you focus praying that same prayer until you get an answer to it. Praise the Lord. Then, one man prayer. Elijah was a man of like passion. James 5:17. The Bible says he's a person like us. He's someone who has the kind of feelings you have, the sexual urges you have. That's what the Bible says. He is a man of like passion. The same issues or challenges you face every day. You are hungry, he also was hungry. You are tired, he also was tired. So God is saying, you don't have an excuse. But this man said, rain will not fall. And for 3.5 years, rain did not fall. And when he wanted the rain to fall, he asked again and rain fell. So God is saying, you also are someone like that, if you also take the kind of step too. So Elijah did not call the whole city. He didn't call all the prayer warriors together. He didn't call all the pastors together. He just went to God in prayer and prayed. And God settled it. So God is saying, you also can be that one man that will pray that one man prayer, and God will also answer it. Praise the Lord. So number one, under the subtopic, put your prayers up the right way, is prayer with the right disposition. And the second one is pray the right kind of prayer. That's our major focus for today. Pray the right kind of prayer. Treating every occasion of prayer the same way is a recipe for frustration and delayed answers to prayers. We must understand that the way you address one situation is not the same way you're going to address the other one. And we're going to look at some examples today as God helps us. So we're going to be looking at number one, under pray the right kind of prayer, is the prayer of inquiry or the prayer of questions. You are actually asking God questions. Yes, we say he's an unquestionable God. We are not talking about that kind of question. When you say he's an unquestionable God, they are saying that you can't ask God questions in unbelief. There's a way you can ask God questions in faith, and that's what we are looking at now. For example, maybe your health has just been failing and failing and failing. You can ask God, Father, what is the reason behind this? That is a question of faith. God, why is this happening? Why is my business not going the way it should go? If I continue like this, that means in the next 20 years, I will just make my first million. I don't want to go that route, Lord. What is the way out? That's the kind of question this is talking about. So you are requesting answers for a question. Praise the Lord. The example of Daniel in the Bible, Daniel 2:16-19. The king said he had a dream, but he wasn't going to tell anybody his dream, but he wanted people to tell him the dream and also interpret it. Funny enough, that's exactly what happens in life. If you see anybody making waves in life, it is the kind of solution Daniel provided. What is the solution? People don't always tell you their problems. but they always want you to give them solutions to their problems. So it is for you to know what the problem with the person is and also to know how to answer his question. We must understand that there's a prayer of inquiry. Instead of praying warfare prayer, instead of praying intercession or praise and worship, that kind of prayer is you are asking questions. For example, if you have seen delay in any area of life, question, what is the reason behind this? When you know the reason, you are now able to pray the next kind of prayer. Maybe it is warfare. For example, Bishop Eriko shared an example, a situation that the church wasn't growing. And he was like, what is happening? Why is this church not growing? So he said, okay, let's pray. I think they went into a 3-day prayer and fasting and prayed. And God opened his eyes to see that the devil was behind it, that there was a carpet of darkness over the church that was misinterpreting what the church was like. People were wearing colored clothes to church, and everybody saw the church as a white garment church. And, you know, of course, many people didn't want to have anything to do with it. But the church was not a white garment church. People were seeing something else, and you are doing something else. The same thing happens in business. Some people, they just put clothes in their shop. The enemy put clothes. Now you're asking your God, let me sell. And God is saying, see, I'm not behind your problem. The devil has closed the shop. Talk to the devil, rebuke the devil, and he will flee. That's what you're supposed to do. But if you don't ask questions from God, you won't really get the answer. So, in that case, Bishop Eriko saw it. Then, now, he didn't ask that God roll the darkness away. No. He focused on the darkness right now, and he rebuked it, and the darkness disappeared. And that's what will take us to the next right kind of prayer, which is warfare prayer. Once you know your enemy, or you know that the enemy is at work, even if you don't know the direct enemy behind it, of course, you know the devil is the arch enemy. So you can know that this time around it is warfare prayer. It is for you to rebuke, to destroy, to break down, to set on fire by the word of God, by prayers, by declarations. This one is not God, please come and help me. No. You already know God is not behind the problem. The enemy is behind it. Now look at the enemy and rebuke him in the name of Jesus. And he has no choice but to flee. That's what the Bible is saying. But you have to know that this one is warfare. Inquiry, you are asking God questions. What should I do? You want to get married. It is not warfare prayer in some aspect of it, except you are being delayed. Then you know the devil is at work here. But if you want to choose a wife, for example, it is not warfare prayer now. It is question. You are saying, God, should I marry this person? Should I not marry this person? What kind of person should I marry? You want to get a new job. You have 2 job offers. You are like, God, which one should I take? Or this one is more juicy than this. I'm tempted to take the one that has more money. But God, what are you saying? Inquiry. You're asking him questions. And most times, the prayer of inquiry requires praying in tongues. I wanted to mention that earlier. You pray in tongues. You are beginning to pray in the spirit. You are tuning your spirit to connect with the frequency of heaven to be able to pick what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because you're on earth, there are so many distractions. But when you switch to praying in tongues, you are able to come to that frequency of God and pick what heaven is saying about that matter. So warfare now, like we were saying, this is aggressive. You are not talking to God aggressively, you are talking to the situations aggressively. If a demon is behind you, rebuke him in the name of Jesus and he will disappear. So you are placing a demand on God to avenge you. If demons or people that are put on demons are behind, you are saying, God, vengeance, I want you to fight for me. Luke 18:1-8. That woman kept going to that judge who did not fear God, man, and he said, fight for me. The disciples also understood this. When Herod was trying to kill them one by one, they went to God. God, why do the unbelievers rage? And what happened? Herod was eaten up by worms. Vengeance happened. So we must understand that there's a prayer of questioning or inquiry. There's a prayer of warfare. And number 3, under pray the right kind of prayer, it is the prayer of intercession. It's more of standing in the gap, meaning that you are not the one who requires help now. Someone else requires help. So you are standing to pray for the person. For example, if anyone in your family is not born again or just living his life recklessly, of course, that person does not have a desire for God, so he's not going to pray to God. So you now stand for him and pray for him to connect with God. So that's intercession. That's why what we do majorly in church is intercession. We are praying for the unbelievers to be saved. They cannot pray for themselves. So you are praying for God to intervene and to open their eyes to the light of the gospel. praise the Lord. So this is the kind of prayer that often requires repetition, because the heart of the person is not involved. It is your heart that is involved for another person. So you may have to repeat it over and over again until you see answers. Praise the Lord. So in this case, you don't stop until you have received answers, until your answer has come, or in your spirit you have peace. Praise the Lord. Then you may have to pray in tongues too, for great speed. You're praying in tongues for God to intervene in the matter of the person. Then number four kind of prayer is praise and worship. Now, this is the kind of prayer that cuts across almost every other kind of prayer. You will also still require praise and worship for them. Why? Because God dwells in the praises of his people. This kind of prayer often involves every part of your person. It involves your spirit, your soul, and your body. If you are praising God, you are dancing, you are clapping your hands, you know, it involves your body. It involves your spirit. You are connected to God, no distraction. And it involves your soul. Sometimes emotions are also involved. So that is what makes the prayer of praise and worship different from others. In the praise of prayer and worship, either you are praising God for what he has done, for what he is doing right now, or what you want him to do. When a battle is so much, so fierce, bigger than you, turn into praise and worship. Because praise and worship will turn your focus away from the problem, but on God. That is what Paul and Silas did. They were already in chains, their legs were stuck, they were bound. They couldn't even move. It wasn't enough that they were put in prison, they also still bound their feet. But guess what they did? They started praising God. They said everybody ate them. And what happened? God came there and the chains were broken, the doors were opened. The same thing happened in 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat was faced with a battle that was bigger than him. It was so big, and God said, don't worry. Just turn into praise and worship. Go to the battle, you praise him. And when they did that, God took over the battle and made sure he fought for them. So the same way you and I, when a battle is great, just turn to praise and worship. Or you are asking God a question, just worship him first and see how you begin to get answers. Praise the Lord. So praise and worship is a kind of prayer that is required for warfare, for asking God to do what he has not done or what you have not received yet. So praise and worship cuts across all other kind of prayers. Then the prayer of consecration. The prayer of consecration. This is required for you to serve God effectively. It's a prayer to clean up your vessel for a higher value and use. You know, all of us are at different levels in God's presence. That's why the Bible says in 2 Timothy that if you clean up your vessel, you will be useful for honorable use. It says in a great house, there are different kinds of vessels. There's a cup. You know, what you use in the toilet is also a vessel. The WC you sit on is a vessel. In fact, the same kind of material they use for the WC is what they use for your mouth that you use to drink the tea. But the use is different. So God is saying, if you want to be used for honorable use, the kind of vessel you give to a president when it comes to your house, he said, if you want God to use like that for honorable use, then you need to clean up. How do you clean up? Through prayers too. Prayers and reading of the word of God. So this kind of prayer, you are asking God to clean you up. You are asking God to speak to you. This one involves a lot of study of the word of God. You are reading more relevant materials for you to be able to climb up to that level where God can make use of you. Praise the Lord. So there's a prayer of consecration. It will also involve you asking for forgiveness of any known sin. If you have committed any sin, then you ask God to forgive you under prayer of consecration, to clean you up so that you will not lose eternity. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 28:13 says, anyone who covers his sins will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So prayer of consecration makes the mercy of God available to humans. Praise the Lord. And lastly, the kind of prayer we are looking at today is the prayer of declarations. It is one of the most important type of prayers. How do we know that? In Numbers 14:28, the Bible tells us that, say to them as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I do for you. God watches our words and confirms them. Proverbs 18:21, the popular verse says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit of it. So what you say is as important, even more important than what you pray about. You are saying, God, I want success in my business. And when you wake up, you are saying, I don't even know what's happening. I don't know why people are not buying. No, you begin to confess and say, yes, people are trooping in to buy. This is what is happening. You are saying it. When you talk normally to people, you say it normally, as if it is happening or it has happened. That is declaration. Your declaration can cancel all your prayers if you declare wrong. The Bible says, do not say before an angel it was an error. So whatever you say, you have to be able to make sure it is aligning with the word of God that you know and with the prayers that you are praying. Praise the Lord. So we are looking at another thing. Seven reasons why prayers are delayed or unanswered. Praise God. God does not delay anyone's prayers or answers to prayers. He's an ever-faithful God. The reason humans come to him is because he answers prayers. Psalm 65 verse 2. He says, unto him that answers prayers shall all flesh come. So it's a very wise thing for believers to know that God is not responsible for unanswered prayers. But you and I are responsible. How do we know? Yes, a demon is behind it, but if you rose up in faith and fought, you would have won the battle. So it is still not God's fault. It is still your fault and my fault. Praise the Lord. So before you conclude that your prayers are delayed, you need to check the following. Sometimes it's not even actually that your prayers are delayed. Number one, you need to check this. Are you praying in the will of God? God is only committed to his will. If you are not praying according to the will of God, if what you are asking for is not the will of God for you, then it is not an issue of delayed answers. It is an issue of no answer, because the answer is not even going to come. So you want to check, is this according to the will of God? And there are some known will of God. We'll talk about that in a bit. Known will of God that you don't need to ask God again. That was the will. For example, healing. You don't have to say, God, do you want me? You'd know. You only need to go to the Bible to check where it says you'll be healed, because it is God's will for you to be healed. The only thing is, look for the scripture. Use it to demand your healing, and healing will come. In other things too, marriage, is marriage good? Yes, it's good. The Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone. Look for the scripture where it says that, and check other things that God says about marriage. Lay hold on them, and they will be delivered. Praise the Lord. So number two, confirm if the delivery is right. Are you in the time of delivery? Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that there's a time for everything, a purpose to everything under the sun. For example, pregnancy takes 9 months. You can't conceive today and expect to have your child tomorrow. That's 24 hours later. No, it takes 9 months. So some prayers are answered that you will know in your spirit they are answered, but you know it will still take some time for you to see the manifestation. Praise the Lord. Sometimes what you call delay is actually not delay. It is just that the timing for manifestation has not come. That means God has answered, but manifestation will take a period of time. For example, you have asked God for business breakthroughs. Yes, business breakthrough is going to come. So the next question is, how is it going to come? Of course, that's a prayer of inquiry. And once you know that it will take a process. You will learn, you will do several things for you to get there. Praise the Lord. Then number three, offenses. Offenses will hinder prayers any day, anytime. In fact, after Mark 11, 23 to 25, in 23, the Bible tells us that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, he says it will be done for the person. It's an assurance. It is one of the best pictures of faith, that if you declare it, God will confirm it. If it is the will of God and you declare it, it will be confirmed. But in the later verses, the Bible tells us that if you have offenses in you, your faith is going to fail. Your prayers will not be answered. So offenses will automatically cancel answers to prayers or delay them. So you want to check, am I angry with anybody? Has anybody offended me that I've not forgiven? You want to settle that. That could be the reason why your prayer has been delayed or unanswered. Then number five, lack of faith. If you don't have faith, the Bible says in James chapter 1, 6 to 8, that if you are doubtful, if you are fearful, if you are unbelieving, don't expect anything from God. So that is an automatic unanswered prayer or delay. So, number one, you want to work on your faith. How do you work on your faith? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means if you feel you are doubtful, you are not sure what God says, then get to the word of God before you pray. God is not running away. So, sit down first. Take 1 hour, take one day to check what God says about that thing before you even start praying about it. And you can save yourself a lot of headache of unanswered prayers. Praise the Lord. And you can also see in the life of Abraham, the father of faith, that one of the things that may have delayed him might have been unbelief along the line. If we check Genesis 17:17, The Bible tells us that Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to somebody who is as old as me?" That is a father of faith. God talked to him. In fact, the way I would interpret that place is, he probably fell down and started maybe rolling on the floor, laughing hysterically. That, "Man, God, do you mean I'll say I have a child? Please, God, just let Ishmael live. It's okay. Ishmael is okay for me. I'm okay." And God said, "No, you are still going to have a child." But what did he do? The Bible says, "A righteous man falls 7 times and rises up again." Abraham realized that God was still serious about what he said. He dumped his unbelief in quotes and believed what God said again, that God, "Oh, so I'm still going to have a child. Okay, I believe." And God said, "He counted it to me for righteousness." So it is not about perfection for you. It is about you being justified by having faith and doing what God says. Praise the Lord. Then number 6, lack of anger about the situation at hand. Acts 16:16-18 tells us about Paul, that for some days, a demon-possessed girl was saying some things, making an utterance, following them up and down. And Paul permitted it, kind of. Maybe he thought the girl was doing the work of God. But later I found out that, no, this girl is demon-possessed, and cast out the demon. The question is, why did it take up to, say, 2 or 3 days for this to happen? There was no anger yet. So sometimes the delay comes because you are still not angry about the situation. You are experiencing delay in a particular aspect of your life: business delay, marital delay, career delay, child delay, fitness delay. And because you are not angry yet, that situation can persist. But the day you get angry and pray, that situation will leave as if it has never been there before. I can share many testimonies that I know about. When you are angry, that, "When, why is this happening? Get out in the name of Jesus," and you just can't take it again, then the solution will be there. Praise the Lord. Then, just because of our time, praying the wrong kind of prayer, of course, will lead to delay. If you are not praying the right kind of prayer, you are doing declaration when you are supposed to do warfare, you are doing inquiry when you are supposed to do intercession, you are doing praise and worship when you are supposed to do consecration, when you know you have sinned against God and you are still trying to use faith. No, the first thing is to clean up your vessel for God to manifest himself. Praise the Lord. And lastly, not everything is about prayer. Not everything is about prayer. Some things are just covenant based. They are just obedience based. So if you are not obeyed God in one aspect, or you are not fulfilling the covenant of God in that aspect, don't even bother pray, because it is not an issue of prayer. For example, if you want to enjoy divine health and you are busy eating junk every day, you are eating foods that are not healthy, you are smoking, you are doing all the wrong things, and you are expecting God to give you divine health, then the person is just joking. It is not an issue of prayer. It is an issue of wisdom to do what is right. For example, if your marriage is going through troubles and or you are having delay in getting married, sometimes it could just be an issue of pride. Of course, there are some people that will come. They are not just your level. But treat them with respect. Some people, the reason why they didn't marry until so late is because they treated some people with disrespect. And it could just be that the person should just listen to God and know what he should do at that moment. If God is telling you what to do, relocate from where you are, and you refuse to relocate. What I mean by relocation is, it could just be as simple as leave the church where you are to another church. It could just be as simple as leave this city to the next city. And it could just be as simple as you go on a 7-day prayer and fasting. That could just be the solution to the problem. Praise the Lord. So we want to make sure we are obeying God in what he has commanded. And also financial breakthroughs. If you are wasting money and doing what you're not supposed to do, don't bother expecting financial breakthroughs. If you are not prudent with your expenses, I can tell you from experience that that money will keep going every day. You'll be receiving money, but it will be disappearing. You are not saving. You are not. So that's not an issue of prayer. It's an issue of you breaking the covenant of God. Then success. Somebody wants to succeed in exam and refuse to read for his exams. That's an automatic failure. So the person should not bother praying. Go and read. Pray. In fact, if you have to pray, pray for the grace to be able to read very well. That's what you should be praying for. And after you have read, grace to read aright, grace to answer the questions right. So those are the issues. So everything is not about prayer. Everything is about you doing what is right. Then after you have done what is right, you can now start talking about prayer. And it's like the old people, they understand this very well. they always ask God what to do. The rich man came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Saul, before he became Paul, when Jesus appeared to him, what did he say? He said, "God, what do you want me to do?" But in our age, we always say, "God, come and do, come and." No, you must understand that there's something for you to do. There's something for me to do. Praise the Lord. We've come to the end of today's episode. Let's just pray for grace. Let's just take a moment to pray for grace to be able to do all these things. That we do what is right at the right time, pray the right kind of prayer, and to be able to recognize even how to pray the right kind of prayer at the right situation. Let's just talk to God one moment. Father, grace to pray the right kind of prayer always. I receive it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Grace to do what is right for my situation, for whatever challenge you come my way. Father, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Humility to do what is right, what you are commanding in your time. I receive it, Lord Jesus. Thank you, awesome God. Blessed be your name. In Jesus Christ's mighty name we pray. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for an opportunity to be in your presence once again. And blessed be your name in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that your word that we have received today will find expression in our lives. Grace to pray aright. Grace to do what is required for our prayers to be answered always. Father, release it afresh on us in Jesus' name. And so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. See you next week, and let's have a great time in God's presence. Let's be ever blessed. Bye.
TheGoodSuccess.com.